Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Wa salamun ala ibadihi allazina istafa. Amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الرجال قوامون على النساء صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, in our Jumu'ah session, due to the time limitation that we have, sometimes it is quite difficult to complete the subject, the topic you start. And so inshallah, if I could just have an extension of time in our session tonight, just to finish off and to complete the topic. Recently, the conversation, a national conversation that has been in the media, is with regards to how women can be protected and safety for women. Of some of the incidents that have occurred recently, we won't go into that. But again, with the COVID-19 news that has generally been dominating every news, we also hear of this very important topic that how in the UK at least, women can be protected, safeguarded. And so a lot of initiatives have been put forward. And so the government have decided that you will also have officers that are in plain clothes that will enter the nightclubs and the pubs for the safety of women. CCTV cameras will be everywhere. The lighting in every street is very, very important. They want to maximize the prison sentence for anyone doing this crime. And many other opinions that is out there just to safeguard women, our mothers and sisters that are out there. The question is, with the implementation of what has been mentioned now, do you think that safety will be given to women? And can their honor be protected? When we look into Islam, my respected brothers, our beloved Nabi and Islam has already given rights to women and has already given complete protection to our mothers and sisters. And in general to women folks. It is very sad when we have Muslims who are influenced by this feminist movement, different organizations, where your iman is weak, and we start to think as if there is a problem in our house. Let me assure you, that there is no problem in Islam whatsoever. Absolutely no problem. There is nothing more perfect than your deen, your Islam. Why? Because the Quran is perfect. It is the kalam of Allah. Your Nabi is Sayyidul Anbiya, the most beautiful Nabi. And his teachings are also completely perfect for humanity. But the problem is that because of the nafs that is inside us, that carnal desire that we have, and then you have shaitan, insan does not like things that are going to be a bit difficult on him. So you will notice that even waking up in the morning for Fajr is a bit difficult. He doesn't like it. He wants his comfort zone. If you tell him to wake up for Tahajjud, he finds it very, very difficult. So the nafs, your desire, your base desire, only wants something that is going to be very, very easy. And so alhamdulillah, when we look at the rights that are given to the men folks, to the women in Islam, it is enough for us. And this is what we need to uphold as our identity wherever we are living as Muslims. Now just to give you a comparison of a Western woman versus a Muslim woman. A Western woman and a Muslim woman. When we look at some of the different points that may affect them in their life. So for an example, is a woman required to work? Is a woman required to work? In the Western world, this is heavily promoted. And the girl that is in her teens is already thinking that, you know what, is my career, what is my profession, what am I going to be doing, how am I going to earn, what salary will I have, what to do, what not to do. This is heavily promoted. And so a lady growing up in this Western society, her mindset is such that I have to work. What is it? I have to work. And this, for a lady to work, this is heavily promoted. In Islam, a woman is considered to be a queen, a princess. Unnecessarily, she is not pushed out of the house to work like a headless chicken, waking up in the morning and doing this and running and busy on the roads and all of these things that generally the men folks do. She is not required to do that unnecessarily. In fact, Islam has given us so much rights that when a daughter, when a girl is born in the family, every pound that is spent on your daughter, it is sadaqah jariyah for you. It is great reward for you. It is the duty of the father to look after the daughters especially. That doesn't mean that the father should deprive the sons. Generally, because the topic is about the rights of women, that is why I am talking about daughters. So the father will actually look after the daughter and he will spend money on them, whatever is required. She in her lifetime is not required to do anything except to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the duty that is given to her as a woman, whatever she needs to do, we will look into that. And then a time comes where, in Islam, a choice is given to this lady where in agreement the mother, the father, the family, and most importantly the bride will say, okay Abbaji, I am happy for you to marry me with this person. There is no nikah in Islam if the girl is not happy. Because in Islam there is no compulsion, there is no force. So if it is a choice and mashallah, everything will tick the box, and then the girl gets married. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the husband, وَبِمَا أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ وَبِمَا أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. Don't think that you spending money on your wife is ihsan on her, or it's a favor that you are doing on her. This is mandated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from the very beginning, before the nikah takes place, Shariat reminds him that he has to give mahar to the wife. What is required to give? A mahar. And what is mahar? Mahar is now to remind him that, your life is going to change now. Now you have a certain responsibility. You are the one who is a qawwam, the maintainer, the one who is going to look after. So when a woman is not working, she is not required to work. Allah has made life very, very easy for this woman. Very easy. She is not required to work. And in her lifetime, she is never made to feel that, oh, what will happen to me financially? I haven't got no money. What happens? If a woman feels like that, then that means the husband is not playing the role that Shariat has imposed on him. Remember, I'm talking about a lady who is not working. She is not working. She is not required to work. If she works, it is fine. In that right environment. In that right environment where things are Sharia compliant. But this is not something that has been promoted in Sharia, that for a woman she is required to go out. And subhanallah, you will find that the Western culture that we live in is very different to what Islam promotes. A lot of the Muslims now and families, you might be shocked or you might not be shocked. I get some cases where a woman will say, Mauli Sahab, you know, we go out to the restaurant. My husband tells me 50-50. Kitna acha bhai. I wish my wife, I could say that to her. 50-50, if she's listening at home. 50-50. You know? The mistake that Boris did. What was it? Eat out. What was that campaign? What was it? Eat out. To eat out to help out. What? That was a blunder. Bichara, what happened? COVID spread. When you tell people to eat out, you know how it is. But anyway, 50-50, the husband is saying. Now, in Shariat, if she is in your nikah, why 50-50? She is looking after your house, she is looking after your children, she is looking after you generally and everything. You have to pay. What is it? You get some women who say, okay, we're going for a holiday now. I'll pay for my ticket, you pay for your ticket. I'll pay for my ticket. So, now this thinking, you know, your money is your money, my money is my money. A person might say that if she was working. But in Islam, Islam has treated a woman like a queen. There should never be this panic button in her life. Sahaba was so meticulous about this that if for some reason, if a woman was divorced, 10 men would be at her doorstep. Immediately we will look after this lady. I will do nikah. If you don't, I will. If you don't, then I will. If you don't, I will. Allahu Akbar. This was the ikhlas. This was the sincerity they had towards helping. Towards helping. And you see today, nowadays, men folks also don't understand their role. And if you're spending on your wife, this is something that is mandated by Allah. Allah is telling you this is something that is required. وَبِمَا أَنفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. You spend on her. Of course, she can't demand from you that, you know, more than what you have, more than your capacity. She can't demand that. But within your means to spend. So a woman in Islam is treated like a queen. You see, it's fine when a lady is young. And when I drive past my house and past St. Saviour's Road in the evening around after Asr and between Asr and Maghrib, and I see a rush of women that come out from the factories where you have St. Saviour's Road, that part of that area where you have factories, and you have so many women that just come out. And I start to wonder, Allahu Akbar Kabira, now some of these ladies, what happens? Bichara, they have to work all day. Some of them will have children. The children will be waiting for the mother to be at home. Has she got the energy to cook? The husband might come later on. I mean, what is the family makeup? How does this family function? Which way of living do you want? And if you're young now, you might run around and you could do a lot of things. But wallahi, when you go over 40, 45, 50, that is the time. Are you still running around and you still expect that lady to run around and bring a salary at the house? When in Islam, this is the duty given to a man out of respect for a woman, out of respect for a woman. But the spin that is given is that, oh, you see, Islam don't give rights to women. How beautiful is that? Look at that spin. Islam don't give rights to women. Why? Because they don't promote women to work. But why should one work? Why should we promote for a woman to work? Because of Iman, Allah is giving us barakat. Because when we take out zakat, Allah gives us barakat. When you turn to Allah and when you worship Allah, Allah says, I will give you barakat min haythu la yahtasib, from a place that you can't imagine, and 10 of you will be able to eat. I am the one who gives you. When you have Iman upon me. So you see, the Western way of living, that concept is very different. In the Western way of living, a woman is promoted in such a way that she should go out to work. In Islam, it's not important that she needs to go out. Allah says, وَبِمَا أَنفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. Don't ever say to her, oh, you know what, I give you money. If she is not working, then it is your complete duty that you look after her finance. Take care of her. Give her the clothes, give her the food, shelter, everything what she requires. Number two, when we talk about a Western woman in a Western country and a Muslim woman growing up in this society, what about education? Education is very important. In the Western world, education is promoted for girls, teens, you know, for the women. That is promoted. In Islam, education is also promoted. Education is also promoted. But education is promoted for boys and girls with a condition. That is promoted with a condition. That where they are going to seek knowledge, that environment should be Sharia compliant environment. It should not be an environment in which their iman will be damaged, in which their morals will be damaged, in which how they think will be damaged. So there is a condition. Now this is where things become very, very difficult. And people actually say, actually Muslims don't want their girls and daughters to be educated. Who is saying that? Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi and a lot of our fuqaha, shuyukh and mashayikh, when you look at their teachers, many of them were females. What were they? Females. They were trained under by women in parda. Women would give them hadith dars and education. Fatima Fihri and all these, when you look at, subhanallah, mathematics, astronomy and every form of education, not just ilmi education. So Islam has always promoted education, but a lot of the parents are a bit fearful. Why? Because of the environment. What is it? There is no question about education. Muslims also want their children to be educated, but Muslims don't want their children to be murtad. Muslims don't want their children to be murtad. So education is very important also in Islam. That is why you will find a lot of parents are very, very careful. And they are very selective. Where will my daughter go? Which college? We will drop her, we will pick her. This is all part of showing love to that girl. But unfortunately what happens is that in the world that we live in, her friends will say, oh, your parents are a bit strict, aren't they? What do they say? So now, this twisted approach will affect the Muslim girl. Oh, are my parents very strict? Is it strict? Now shaitan puts it in the mind. But she does not realize, he does not realize that your father and mother loves you. This is all about giving you the complete package of protection. They don't understand that because of the environment. And so it is a challenge when you live in a society where of course things are seen in a very different way. So here we see education and education. Number three, in the Western world, for the Western women, free mixing and men, women to sit together and this, you know, gender mixing, that is heavily promoted. That everyone can do that and it is considered to be a human right. So what do they say? It is your human right. There is no difference between a man and a woman. And you see how shaitan will coin the term. There's no difference between man and a woman. Therefore, a man and a woman can be together. In Islam, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, there is segregation. What is there? Segregation. A man, they are to be with the men folks. A woman is to be with the woman folks. Now, when Islam says this, they say that Islam does not give rights to women. Islam does not give rights to women. Alhamdulillah, Islam does not open the door of promiscuity. What is it? Islam does not open the door of behayai, promiscuity. When you have a lady that is showing her beauty and then it's like pass the parcel. Have you heard of that? Have you heard of pass the parcel? School mein khelte the, pass the parcel. So when you treat a woman like pass the parcel, and that this beautiful woman now, she is with Tom in the morning, with Jack in the afternoon, and with, you know, Henry in the evening, and this person and that person, and holding each other, and she is hugged and meet and this and that, and subhanallah, in Islam, what we say, no. The honor and the sanctity that should be given to a woman, respect should be given to a woman, because the most beautiful creation of Allah is a woman. And therefore, if we start mixing, then naturally, there is this desire and urge in a man and also in a woman. No matter what face you put in front, the one who has created you is telling you that the third person in that majlis is a shaitan. The third person is a shaitan. And one day, you will end up divorcing your wife because your wife will want to have a divorce with you because she caught you with your secretary. Why? How did you fall in love with your secretary? Again, free mixing. How did you fall in love with your teacher? Again, free mixing. You know, how come you've left the lady you were supposed to marry because you found a new girlfriend? How did you find a new girlfriend? Free mixing. You see, when you have this free culture where a person says it's human rights, actually under human rights what happens, the door is left open so that people can fulfill their desire. They don't want something as difficult as what Islam is saying. Because Islam tackles the issue from the roots. What does Islam say? Islam says, look, if you have desire, you can marry up to four. You can marry up to four. It's not an issue. But all four must be given complete equal rights. But don't open the door of fornication. Don't do zina. Therefore, in the modern world that you see today, you know, Maulana Zulfiqar Saab, Allah give him a long life, in a university he was questioned by a woman that, can you tell me, Sheikh, why does Islam give permission for a man to marry four women? And even when Islam gives you permission to marry four, how many Muslims have got four wives in the world? How many? You can count on your fingers. You can only count on your... Hardly any Muslims will have four wives. Hardly people have three wives. Hardly. Just one, two, kabi kabi one. Mostly one. Most of the Muslims only have one wife. Because it's not a walk in the garden or walk in the park. There are conditions that are there. So Hazrat said to this lady that tell me the truth, that in the university and in the college and when you find a job and when you get married, how many men will that woman have a relationship with before she decides to get married to that person? How many men will she have had relationship? 15, 20 people, then she will choose that who I need to get married to. And so my respected brothers and elders, Islam gives protection and security to a woman. Islam does not open the doors of behayai. Now when we have groups of people that visit the masjid, many a times they say, oh Imam, even the teachers tell me, Imam, you know, Islam don't give rights to women because men and women don't pray together. Men and women don't pray together. But you know what happens in the gym where you have men, women together. You know what happens in the changing rooms when you have men, women together. You know what is happening when you have men, women together. But forget all that. In Islam, we don't have women praying with men because in Islam, it's all about touching one another. So when you're praying salah, you are physically touching someone. Your thighs are touching to the person on your right and to your left. And a woman will never feel comfortable to be performing salah for that man on the right and left to touch her from the top and the bottom, and that man is a complete stranger to that person. So in Islam, alhamdulillah, what is promoted is honor and respect to a woman. This does not mean that we are taking away rights from a woman. We need to understand that. We really need to understand. In fact, in Islam, mashallah, if you go at home and if you look at our Muslim women driving cars, they drive the best cars, mashallah, they have everything provided. 90% of Muslim women are happy. 90% of Muslim women are happy. And if 90% had a choice that do you want to work or you just want your husband to look after you and pay for the finance, what do you think they will say? But if you people, if men folks had a choice that somebody is going to give you a free check or something and look after you, you might as well use that, isn't it? Take that option. So subhanAllah, if you look at Islam, Islam covers everything. And then, is a woman free to travel, the Western woman? A Western woman, she can travel wherever she wants and she is free to travel. In Islam, a woman cannot travel without a bodyguard. In Islam, a woman cannot travel without a bodyguard. Why is that bodyguard important? Why is that bodyguard important? To protect her. That she needs anything. She wants to buy some food, drink. She requires to go somewhere. You have her khadim, bodyguard, that will look after. And who is the bodyguard? Mahram. Who is the bodyguard? Mahram. Look at Islam. Islam provides that under no circumstances should this woman go through any kind of difficulty. Okay, what kind of clothes should a woman wear? The Western clothes, you know, my respected brothers, every designer clothes that you see out there branded are all very revealing, are all very, very revealing. In Islam, modesty is very, very important. That when you go out, don't reveal your beauty. Don't reveal your beauty. So you wear clothes that are modest. Now what happens when women wear clothes that are modest? Again, another spin that is given, or you see, poor soul, women don't have rights. So women will be considered as free if they expose their body, if they show their beauty, their body parts. The more you expose your body and the more you reveal your beauty, that means that you are a free woman. This is the concept on this side. In Islam, it's not that. In Islam, it is about modesty and protection. Everything in moderation. Motherhood in the Western world is not promoted to be a mother or to get married. In Islam, to get married, it is promoted. And to be a mother, it is also heavily promoted. Subhanallah al-Azim. And so very quickly, just a few points. And then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the ideal woman. That how a Muslim woman should be. We should not be impressed by the things that we see outside. You see, sometimes there is this relationship that is built with the viewer and the screen. The viewer and the screen. And there is this kind of marital relationship. A person is on the screen so much that he believes everything what he sees. As if there is nikah that is done with your mobile phone. Nikah that is done with your mobile phone. Allahu Akbar. And there was a man who was saying, Allah save us, that for 4 hours to 3 hours in a day, he would see the wrong things on the net. He would see the wrong things on the net. And because of that, he could not even have relationship with his wife. So much so, he said, that I could not have relationship with my wife even when the doctors had prescribed me medication that would generally work for anyone. This medication was not working for me because I would view daily for 2 to 3 hours things that were totally wrong, and until I would not imagine that, nothing in my body would work. This is the world that we live in today, my respected brothers and elders. Forgive me, but you know what? The imams also have to be open nowadays because of how things are. Because how the world is that we live in. Otherwise, who is going to say? How are we going to understand what is right and what is wrong? And especially nowadays, when you had lockdown, a lady, she rang in and she said, I have a beautiful child, young child, online. All of a sudden, within 1-2 months, we noticed that my son was losing weight. Now, so what happens? Online education, online school. So the mother and father can't monitor all the time, and the parents are oblivious most of the time of what the child is viewing. There is no qurbani. There is no qurbani. As parents, we have to be careful. Buy things that will take control of the internet. And one must know what is actually happening in your house. And this child was losing weight. He was not talking to nobody. So she spoke to the husband that something's happened to our child. And the husband said, maybe it might be COVID. Let's go and check him out. And then one day the mother was cleaning the room, and the boy had left her mobile phone there. So the mother just picked up the phone, and the son ran screaming, "Don't touch my phone." This is what happens when you have chori in your phone. You don't like to be caught. Ne? So that chore was in the phone. And then the mother picked up and said, "Son, what's the problem? Why do you scream as if somebody is dead? What's happening?" Eventually he started saying that I've met some individuals and I have met some friends that are sending me videos and pictures that are very explicit, and it is confusing me. And the child was, I think, 11 years of age. It is confusing me and I don't know. I feel I want to take my life. The mother was crying that what is happening to the society that we live in. So my respected brothers, if we don't understand what Allah is telling us, Allah who has created us, then unfortunately, nobody will be there to blame anybody except for ourselves. And so look at the beautiful teachings of Islam. Inshallah, 5 minutes more, my brothers. Allah says, a woman is what? Fasalihat. Salihat, though it means pious, but actually it comes from sulh. And sulh, the opposite of sulh is fasad. Fasad means corruption. And Allah is saying women should have this character that what they do is they have this ability to stop conflicts. What do they have? A woman has this ability to stop conflicts. And that is a beautiful woman. That she has this ability to stop a fight. To create peace and harmony. To maintain peace. And that is called sulah. Sulah. So Allah is saying, this is a beautiful woman. Fasalihat. Qanitat. Qanitat means that she is subservient to Allah. And she also, when you are subservient to Allah, she knows what her rights are. And then Allah says, Hafizatul lil ghayb. Hafizatul lil ghayb. And she will guard the unseen. What does guard the unseen mean? When the husband is not there, she will protect her loyalty with the husband. You know, a lot of women, they'll talk with a ghair mahram. And when the husband says, look, you know what, I don't like you talking to this man. You know, there's something wrong with you. The man, you have to go and see somebody. Go and see a doctor. You're very shakki. What is it? I don't like you talking to that man. But he's just a friend. He's just a friend now. Later on, this friend will become your second husband. It happens. What is it? And this is what we call also, you know, emotional infidelity. Emotional infidelity. That when he tells you, look, I don't want you to talk to that person, you respect. And next time when you tell him that I don't want you to do this, he will also respect you. So, subhanallah, there is love. So Allah is saying, Hafizatu lil ghayb. And then look at the Quran, so beautiful. The Quran reminds the men folks of the different phases that a woman goes through and tells the men folks, be very careful about a woman. Imagine, ittaqullah is generally found in the Quran only for Allah. Am I right, Hafizam? Only for Quran, for Allah. But only in one place, ittaqullah also comes for a woman. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. Fear Allah and fear the connection that you receive with the wombs. And who has the womb? Only a woman. And it is by the wombs that you are related. So Allah is saying, fear Allah, safeguard Allah, and safeguard the rights of women. Because it is through the wombs that you are related to one another. Amazing verse of the Quran. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ إِحْسَانًا. Allah says, I order you, and this is my command, that you be kind to your walidain, to your mom and dad. But then straight away, the Quran moves into the role of a woman. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ إِحْسَانًا. Allah says, but look, how can you not respect a woman? حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ كُرْهَا. Your mother carried you with great difficulty. A woman carried you. Every man that is here comes from a woman. And that woman carried you in her stomach for 9 months. And do you know in 9 months, wallahi, my respected brother, sometimes what happens, even in Jumu'ah when I come, I don't like to put my keys and mobile phone in the pocket because it makes it difficult for you to be comfortable. Imagine small things, then what about a baby that she carries 9 months? And what does a woman go through? And these are the things that a woman goes through. Cramps, backache, heartburn, hormonal changes, sometimes facial hair, indigestion. These are the normal things for 9 months. Headaches, high blood pressure, swollen ankles, tiredness. She is vomiting, puking, morning sickness, urinary frequency, that she needs to go to the toilet. All of these things. For 9 months, she goes through this taklif. So Allah is reminding us that you have to respect a woman. Why? حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ كُرْهَا. That your mother, how did she carry you with great difficulty that you don't respect your mother today? And then Allah says, حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ كُرْهَا. And then وَوَضَعَتْهُ كُرْهَا. And then she also gave birth to you with difficulty. A man will never experience this, that how it is for a woman to give birth, the delivery. Wallahi, my respected brothers, our ulama have mentioned that this is the most difficult pain when a lady gives birth that she will ever experience in her life. And she does it without any hesitation, out of love for the husband and for the child and the baby that is inside. Sometimes she gives her own life. Sometimes she gives her life for the birth of that baby. وَوَدَعَتْهُ كُرْهَا. Allah is saying, how difficult it is for that lady, and you don't respect that woman, and you don't respect your wife, and you swear at your wife, and you don't spend money at your wife. And other people are going to teach us about the rights of women when the Quran explicitly is telling us the difficulty of how a woman goes through. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ كُرْهَا وَوَدَعَتْهُ كُرْهَا وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ ثَلَاثُونَ شَهْرًا. And then Allah says, once the delivery is done, you will find many women, especially nowadays, go through this postnatal depression. A lot of women go into depression. They find it very difficult. And then Allah is saying, وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ ثَلَاثُونَ شَهْرًا. And then after that, it doesn't end there. You know, Allah has given this incredible level of tolerance and patience to a woman. A man will play with the baby 1, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, and when he starts crying too much, that's what we do, don't we? But a woman, she never gets tired. She never gets tired. She is upstairs and she sees the baby crying, and she is now wondering, and she will run and she will say, my bachcha. Subhanallah, you see her in tears. Any difficulty that the child faces, that level of tolerance Allah has given to what we call ma, your wife, the one who you have married. Subhanallah, in the night, we will be sleeping, she will wake up, she will clean, she will look after. And then she will sacrifice her holiday, she will sacrifice her work, she will sacrifice her luxury, she will sacrifice everything. Everyone is invited at one person's house, she goes, no, I can't come, my baby is young and small. And then on time she is ready to feed her baby. And the Quran says, as long as 2 years. As long as 2 years. Can we as men compare ourselves to the women folks and the hardship that they go through? And this is what Islam tells us explicitly, openly. The Quran describes the stages that a woman goes through. So as Muslims, alhamdulillah, we know how to respect the women, and we need to respect women, and we need to promote this so that the society in large understand, alhamdulillah, what is Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, my respected brothers, for sitting and listening. Allah give you jazai khair. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Sami'na wa ata'na gufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.